This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
How did overtime go last night? What was the popular thought from everybody?
Honestly, Sterling, Kyle, and I, and by the way, you'll hear Sterling and I coming up in an hour on the Football Hour, a Friday edition of the Football Hour.
Sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's coming up in 60 minutes.
Okay.
Sterling, Kyle, and I were all very excited by the win and pleased, even though it wasn't a perfect win, but a lot of callers were still frustrated that it didn't look as clean as maybe you were hoping. And I think the difference is maybe the perspective with which you're looking at it. Through 6 weeks, if you would have told me before the season started they were 3-3, sound the alarms. But you go into this game, 2-3, Thursday night football game, on the road, division foe, you get a win by any means necessary, and they got the job done.
You know what I almost want to ask you with the way you said that is, like, does it feel like there was a different vibe with your callers last night versus the interaction that we have received from callers and texters today?
Yeah, last night was a little more frustration and anger.
So yeah. I'm betting, like, y'all just needed a night's sleep. Honestly, and me too, because I feel that way. I felt more positive today than I did last night. And I think that that's because the immediate reaction after the game is one of exhaustion from, A, the anxiety of Thursday night football in Seattle, but combined with the fact that, again, you go up 3 touchdowns, and then you are finding yourself in the fourth quarter sweating. And that's a PTSD that absolutely came up. And I love that Fred Warner admitted it after the game, saying, yeah, that was not good. That was not good that we had to deal with that again, unfortunately.
And I was talking to a friend earlier today before I had rewatched it, and the conversation was, at what point did you have that experience of the PTSD of, like, oh no, I've seen this story before? And you're right, you go up 23-3, so you get the opening kickoff in the second half, and you do what Shanahan often does. You march down 70 yards, Kittle at the pylon, perfect throw, 23-3, and you're thinking, all right, Ottoman, maybe I'll go up and give the baby a bath. Maybe I'll be a part of story time tonight, because this thing, it looks like it's going to be comfortable. And then Laviska Shenault goes 97, jukes one, dodges a second, runs over a third, and all of a sudden now the 12th man is back in it, and it's 23-10. And then a couple possessions later, it's 23-17, and you're thinking, no, this can't be happening again. So I do think that the way it went, and forget the 2 late touchdowns, which were great, but before that, you're thinking, oh my God, 23-17, I've seen this before. And that's where, even when the game is over, you still have those feelings of, like, you don't feel like you dominated it for four quarters, even though you kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess, the emotion that I look for sometimes, especially early in a season, which maybe a lot of people don't, because, and this goes to our constant conversation of process versus result.
Sure.
Is I give something, not everything. I want the win first and foremost. But I give something for when I leave a football game, when I'm done, and this isn't just Niners. When I watch a football game, I want to know who I thought was the better team. Because sports does not always reward what's happening the majority of the time out there.
The Niners would be 5-1.
Fluky stuff happens. Yeah. Balls bounce weird ways. I mean, look at baseball. We celebrate the Giants. The game-winning hit in Game 7 of the World Series in 2014, the exit velocity was probably 4. 4.
Yeah.
I mean, the
4.
He barely hit the ball. But it found a spot. It was a dying quail, and it went over a glove, and the Giants won a game by one run because Mad Bum then came out and shoved. So, like, there's stuff that happens out there that you have to give room for. But I want to know, and especially, I know that we get, maybe he gets a little too in love with the first half script. But I want to know, when two teams get out onto the field and start throwing blows at each other right away, ¿quién es más macho? Who looks like the big dog? And in Minnesota, it looked like Minnesota. But in the other five games, it looked like the Niners. And to me, that stuff evens out over the long haul. Very fascinated to see how I feel about that at halftime next Sunday.
Right.
When the Niners play the Chiefs. That's going to be super fascinating. But right now, 3-3, not great. Some disappointment in there, sure. But I feel like the 49ers over the long haul, things are going to even out and be good, because I often, when I watch them play, I very much firmly believe they're the better team on the field.
Yeah, and they were last night. For of the 60 minutes, I would say they were the best team for about 50 of those minutes.
Yep, I agree.
In those other 10 minutes, you had a 97-yard kick return. You had the Niners hold, we mentioned Brendel, with a hold, and then you had to punt, and you pinned down Seattle at their own 6, and you're up 23-10 at that point, and the Seahawks proceeded to drive 94 yards down the field and score a touchdown to make it 23-17. And the thing about that, Mark, and I don't know if you remember this play, but you will once I refresh you, and it was the touchdown play. It was second and goal from the 1, and the Niners had 12 on the field, and then they had 10, and then they had 11, and the guy with the funny helmet ran off, Williams, I think. Right. He runs off, and then he runs back, and then Demo, and then you go there, and I go there, and none of it mattered because Walker goes in from 1 yard out for the touchdown. But that moment of, oh no, yeah, kind of hit me, because Seattle went 94 yards down the field, couple of third down conversions. The Niner defense didn't seem to be as ferocious as it had been in the first half, and all of a sudden now it's a 6-point game, the crowd's back into it, it's late third quarter, and that's when I was thinking, oh no, Seattle's now scored back-to-back touchdowns, one on a kick return, who does that anymore,
right?
One on a 94-yard drive with Geno Smith hitting Barner, Fant. There was a Charbonnet in there. I mean,
did he get a Bobo? Remember when Bobo showed up at the end?
Later.
I like Bobo.
There was some Bobo.
The kids like that one when Bobo started. They're like, his name is Bobo?
A couple of targets later. That was on their last touchdown drive.
Yes, exactly.
But when they scored to cut it to 6 with, 2 minutes to go in the third, and then the Niners immediately punt on their next possession to start the fourth, that's when I was thinking, oh boy. I mean, Seattle, what if Seattle goes 85 yards and scores again, and now they have the lead and at home. And look, so you're right about the Niners and looking like the better team, but there was a 10-minute stretch in there where it started to look like the Rams and Arizona.
Well, let's do an NBA comp for a second. And Phil Jackson used to talk about this all the time, which is, and I forget what his exact percentages are, but he's like 90% of games in the NBA when you get to the final 5 minutes of the basketball game. 90% of them at one point or another are going to be a single-digit game, which is considered somewhat close. Like, you know, 2-3 possession basketball game, basically what you're saying. And so I think that more often than we ever would love to acknowledge, even when our favorite team happens to be in a good window, and the Niners, and to a degree the Warriors right now, are in good windows. Like, they're good teams. They win the majority of their games. We want them to come out and dominate.
For four quarters.
For the whole time.
Right.
Look, the other team's going to make a run. They're going to make a run. Almost every time. It is very rare. Like, even the Patriots, they didn't really make a run, but for a second, weren't you kind of, they felt like a gnat. When Guerrero, let's go back to the Patriot game. It's 20-3 at half, and you're like, well, this is, I don't know, honey, do you want to watch something else? Like, this is a snooze, because the Patriots cannot function. And then Guerrero fumbles off of the butt.
Oh, God.
And the Patriots score a touchdown. And then if I remember correctly, maybe, I don't even know, the Niners scored. They went right back down and scored. But in that moment, you're like, what the hell are we doing up by 10 in the second half?
Right.
What the hell's going on here? Now, it turned out four plays later, it was 27-10, and it relaxes you. But that is, quite frankly, probably the worst team in football that was in town. The truth of the matter is, the other team's going to make a run. And so I bet over time, as the further we get away from last night, we will come to like the fact that Seattle made a run and the Niners held them off. Because quite frankly, they need that muscle memory. Because two teams have made a run at them so far this year, and both times,
yeah,
they cratered and lost. And so this is good. Like, have a team make a run at you, and will you please go make the plays and stop it? And they did. And so that's fantastic. But you're going to need to do that. Even the games that end up 31-14, at some point in the third quarter, you're like, ah, God, if they score a touchdown here, this is getting a little... They're going to make a run. They're going to make a run. They're professional teams.
I get that. And I was more heartened by the fact that you had so many of the young guys who were in spots that were either brand new or, you know, the second or third time that they've actually been in that spot, and they stepped up and they made big plays. So you had Green and you had Guerrero make a huge play. You had Mustafa make a big play. So for me, it's more about young guys, rookies, or second-year players stepping up and doing things that they haven't been asked to do. So, yeah, Seattle's going to make a run, but for me, the big takeaway on the positive from the close game is the rookies and the young players who had to step up and do things and make contributions, and they did.
How you feeling next week in the fourth quarter if you're up by 10?
I'm terrified. Worse than I did last night.
I'd almost rather be down by 10. I'm kidding, but good Lord. Patrick Mahomes, that game, I don't care what the score is not going to feel over until that clock reads zero.
It probably won't feel over till Monday afternoon.
That's a good point.
Last night, you got to 29-17 with 6 minutes to go, and...
And they still scared you.
Not really.
Well...
I mean, a little bit, but not really. Honestly,
only for one play.
29-17 with 6:20 to go. I'm thinking, all right, this is Geno Smith in Seattle. They haven't really been able to gash you and, you know, move the ball tremendously yet. So I wasn't really that worried, even when they scored the touchdown.
No, I mean, it only
minute
lasted
44, timeout. Fine.
It lasted one play. Obviously, Guerrero takes off. And you know, once it's 29-24, Niners get the ball, Seahawks have all their timeouts, you're like, all we need is a first down. And then, obviously, it got crazy fast because Guerrero fires through the hole, and you're like, one way or another,
the game
is over.
Yeah.
But until he busts through that line, 29-24 with three timeouts in the pocket is not an over game.
True.
It's not. And if you don't get a first down there and Wisnowski punts and the Seahawks have the ball now with a minute and a half, granted no timeouts.
On their own 30.
Good Lord. That's rip your nails off time.
Right. Especially considering what we've been through so far through five games.
DK Metcalf is running around out there. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba.
Yeah.
And Tyler Lockett and all of that.
Don't forget Bobo.
And Bobo.
And and some guy named Barner who had a catch.
Yeah, good for you, Barner.
Third string tight end, and Fant with a couple of catches. And I mean, and that last drive that Seattle had to score, the last drive that they actually scored on, was perfect because the Niners were letting him just get 5 and 4 and 3, and then Bosa would come in, and I had to tackle somebody. It's what I do. That guy was awesome to watch.
He was ridiculous.
And they did.
He was in there on every play.
And I'm sure that Coach Sorensen was listening to our show.
For sure.
Because I recommended that they do what they actually did, which was play him on both sides. He rushed against the left tackle and the right tackle at times.
Yeah.
They moved that guy around.
Shake it up.
Let's go.
Shake it up, and they did. Let's go to one of our favorites. It's Jose in Oakland, everybody. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Commuting home. Just getting ready for the weekend.
Okay, good luck.
There's a lot of things that happened last night during that game. Like you said, at some point I thought they were about to just lose the game again. But if anything, like Dave said, the positive out of that one is that we did see the rookies come in. They did contribute, and they didn't look like they were just overwhelmed by the moment. And also by the situation itself. I think on the long run, it's going to benefit the fact that they're getting playing time. That's the only way they're going to learn, by getting actual game experience. And when we think about Purdy going, getting the big contract, some hard decisions are going to have to be made. So it's good to see, take a little peek at the future, what the future holds for the 49ers as far as some of the young players.
Jose, would love to hear more about that. What kind of hard decisions do you think need to be made when Brock gets the contract?
You have some older players that just keep getting hurt. I mean, Trent Williams, to be honest with you, he got all that money, but I wouldn't be surprised if he retires next year. It doesn't seem like he really wants to be there. He's there because he has to. Seems like they ask him, if they ask him to come in next year, he's probably going to say, that's enough for me, Doug. He won't want to come in. I mean, he's got his money already, so why should he? We got other players that just keep getting hurt. I mean, Debo, he keeps going out there, but he keeps getting hurt. Kittle, the same thing is, I mean, they're getting older. There's a lot of miles, and that's right. Some of these guys have been through a lot of games, so.
No doubt. Jose, thank you so much. We love hearing from you, and thanks for getting your tagline in there. But I'll say this, and I will probably take this to the grave, and if it makes people mad, I'm sorry. Like, I just – when a player is in his 30s and he gets hurt, we're always like, oh, they keep getting hurt. Have you looked around the league this year? Look around the league. My God, everybody's hurt. Your fantasy team has already been absolutely ravaged. All of you.
Actually, my team's been pretty healthy.
Well,
but
now you know why you're doing well. Yeah.
I said that Wednesday, dude, and one of my guys immediately popped up on the injured list.
I'm last week on what I think is a pretty healthy team, and I mean that in terms of scoring. Like, we're doing pretty good, and I'm like using up IR spots, picking up people I've never heard of. Jordan winning something for the Rams.
Yeah.
And then he goes out there and he balls. Puka Nacua is hurt. He's young. Cooper Kupp is hurt again. He's young. James Cook, is he playing this week? I don't know. Like, this whole idea, I get the concept every year. I feel like this happens, and I started to hear it last night. I think our boss, Matt Nahigian, wrote it on Twitter. Something's going on with the Niners with all these injuries. Maybe we got to talk to strength and conditioning. Something's wrong. How many times?
Is that what he said?
No, but I mean, like, that's the suggestion to me. You can't wiggle free from the injury bug in the NFL. This is not the strength coach's fault. I don't think that this is they are, quote, remember what we've heard a couple times, that the Niners are, quote, not in shape. I mean, really? Like, if you want to talk about guys who missed camp, maybe. And maybe I'm talking out of turn. I'm no doctor. I just think it's football, and the Niners have gotten their share so far this year. But it doesn't even feel like they're really any different than any of the other squads. The Chiefs will come in here next week with Juju Smith-Schuster as their leading receiver, and he was on the nobodies at the start of the year. They're already, we're picking up scrap heap guys. There's so many injuries.
Well, look at the 49ers running back room.
Yes.
You now have Taylor Jr. and Garendo, and hopefully Mason's able to go in 9 days when they have to play football again, but you're already without McCaffrey, and don't forget about Elijah Mitchell, who was supposed to be the backup, and Jordan Mason was a guy who, I don't know, maybe he's going to make the team. You know, he'll probably be the third running back, and maybe he'll be a short yardage guy, and now he's leading the NFL in rushing, so it's not just the 49ers. I do look at injuries differently because there are two different types of injuries. There are soft tissue injuries and there are bone and, you know, football contact related injuries. And I just wonder about, you know, the soft tissue injuries and where, and this maybe is what Matt Nahegan was hinting at. Like I didn't see the tweet.
The hamstring stuff.
Right,
and whatnot.
Hamstring, yep. Groin and quad and, you know, those types of things. And, you know, for injuries that happen in practice or, you know, players who need IVs. And, you know, you yourself said that Debo, not last night, but last game, looked a little bit sluggish.
Yeah, but that could have been circumstantial. I don't mean that he's, like, you know, not fast or whatever.
Or
but
not,
like,
in shape.
Whatever. Yeah, because he's already had some really good games, and he came out of the gate. He showed up in camp in phenomenal shape. So it wasn't a suggestion that Debo was out of shape. It just looked like, on TV in that game, whether it be him or whether it be the plays called for him and the way that they were sort of defended, it just looked like nothing ever got going for Debo the entire game.
Yeah.
But I would certainly not suggest that he is out of shape. And as to whether or not he's injury prone, I mean, to a degree, yes, based on the way he plays. And that's nothing new. And I don't want to take that from certain guys unless you're a kicker.
Right. And Debo got hurt, quote unquote, again last night, missed one play, mm-hmm. and immediately came back in, and they gave him the football. So I don't know if injury prone is even fair, and this is something you and I have talked about before, because it's football and it's 100% injury rate. And even though, like last night, I don't know if it was Debo's hand or what happened on
that
the play.
That was a weird one, yeah.
That whole play was weird because
they pulled the face mask,
the Niners false started. It was a dead ball, but not really, because nobody stopped. So it's a false start, and everyone's blowing the whistle, but Debo didn't stop, and the Seahawks didn't stop, and the Seahawk grabs him by the face back and twists him around, and they're still blowing the whistle, and Debo still isn't stopping, and now two more Seahawks come in and get involved, and then Debo gets into a little bit of a altercation, a minor one with the Seahawk, and then finally everyone stops, and then he's hurt.
Yeah. And I couldn't even tell what it was because he's moving around in a really odd sort of way, shaking his hand,
yeah.
But then he's spinning around and kind of like kicking his legs out. And I'm like, damn, he's in either a lot of pain. And I'm like, is it his hand? Nope, it's his groin. Nope, it's his hand. I don't know what the hell's going on with Debo.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Because he came back in the next snap. Not only did he come in, they gave him the ball.
Gave him the ball.
And, I mean, immediately he was the ball carrier.
You know how the culture is in football. It's kind of like Kyle Shanahan's halftime interview. Like, he's sitting there like, what about Jordan Mason? He's like, good to go. He's good to go. And then he runs one time, and we never saw him again. Like, if you tell a coach, I'm in, then you're good. You're good. Here's the ball. Go. And obviously, maybe you're not okay. But if the culture is, if you say you're good, you're 100%.
George Kittle ran to the locker room and then ran out of the locker room and scored a touchdown.
I think that was just IV.
I think it was an ankle. I think he had his ankle retaped.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I think he went in to get retaped and he came back out and scored a touchdown.
Whenever a guy runs to the locker room like that, I'm like, he's coming right back. He just need to go to the bathroom or something like that.
Something.
I don't know.
Just quick aside,
yeah.
You got a blue tent on the sidelines, but we can't have like a porta potty. So these guys have to run literally like almost a quarter mile into the locker room to handle business. Can't we like make the blue tent and have like a separate, like a yellow tent?
I say, look.
Or a brown tent if you need it.
Y'all talk to Scott Hansen, who does Red Zone. Ain't no going to the bathroom during the game. You've got halftime. We're literally asking you to hold it for 90 minutes. That's it. 90 minutes. This man holds it for 7 hours.
In theory, yeah.
Commercial written in theory. You don't believe him?
I don't know, because if you watch Red Zone as religiously as anybody,
him.
You know that sometimes during the Red Zone, they'll go from game to game to game to game to game with the play-by-play, and other times he'll interject, we'll go to Detroit, coming up next, Chicago's in the red zone. There are times where there are 3 and 4 minute stretches where they just go game, 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 game.
I don't know about 3 to 4 minute stretches.
Watch it this weekend. Watch the film.
I watch it every week. Why are you calling the man a liar?
I'm not.
You are.
I'm actually not.
He's literally been on this show and told us that there's no going to the bathroom.
All I'm saying is that I don't know. I'm not there. And I can take him at his word, and I do, but I know this. There are times when they go game, 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 and he is not, he's not talking, he's not interjecting. Those are facts.
I don't think it's too much to ask for you to think ahead and hold it for 90 minutes. I asked the kids to do it on
90
long
minutes.
90 minutes. You can go at halftime. 90 minutes. Each half is 90 minutes.
Roughly.
That's it.
And you realize that halftime is a 12-minute thing.
It's plenty of time
to get to the locker room, get coached up, because we got to make halftime adjustments.
Are you arguing that in 12 minutes you can't get from the sideline to the bathroom and back?
Depends on what nature is calling about.
Oh, good Lord.
If nature's calling and it's a longer phone call, if you catch my drift,
yeah,
I may need more than 12 minutes and a newspaper.
That'd be amazing.
Or
Coach, you guys got a newspaper? Can I get my phone? I need to scroll on IG.
Dude.
And take care of
Pablo
myself.
Pablo Sandoval.
Unbelievable.
Famously.
888-957-9570. But anyway, the whole thing to me, and I do think that Niner fans, I think we're feeling this, we're hearing this. The further you get from this game, the better you're going to feel about it. I get the anxiety. I get the exhaustion. I get the, oh no, you let another 3-touchdown lead start to dissipate and get all the way down to a 6-point game. But the further you get away from it, I think you start to remember things about it, which is this is a road primetime in-division game. There's a phrase, home dogs on Monday night. It works for Thursday and Sunday too. Home dogs on primetime games are a thing for a reason. They very often overperform because they know these are their fans, their energy, and they are going to show out because they know they've got the whole nation watching at once. And then add in that it's in the division. And add in that the home dog was on a 2-game losing streak. All of that energy comes at the Niners. And if you end up winning that by double digits, I think the further you get away from the game, you'd be very smart to start forgetting about some of the things that were a little uncomfy at certain times and sort of just take the broader view, which is all of those factors and all of your own injuries, some in the last minute and some in the game, and you walked home with a double-digit victory. That is a very, very good night.
No doubt. And that's why it's a Victory Friday. And if you even look at it from 10,000 feet, it was a divisional game on the road, and you won. And it was a game in Seattle, which can be a difficult place to play,
sure.
And you won. You hadn't beaten any team in the National Football Conference this year, and you won. So all those things, if you want to look at it from the broader view or the macro view, as you like to say, that's all good. And if you want to look micro, yeah, there's things that need to be cleaned up.
Always.
The special teams continues to be a bit of an issue, and you do have a bunch of injuries, but and you've got the two-time defending champs coming to town on Sunday. And there are a lot of things that still need to be fixed and a lot of things that need to be addressed before then. But in the meantime, you just went to Seattle and won. And now you're in first place in the division after a pretty uneven first 6 games. That's a good thing.
I was just wondering if we got a line on that game yet. The Chiefs and Niners are both done playing until they play each other. So there should be a line, right? Should be a line on that game?
Let me find it.
Scrolling.
I see the line from last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Niners by 2.
There are a lot of the October, is it 20th? That the game will be October 20th, right? I got a bunch of spreads from that weekend, but not the Niners and Chiefs.
I see one here at VegasInsider.com.
Okay, what does it got?
The Niners opened as a 2-point favorite, and according to FanDuel, Niners, they've slid.
Down to 1.5?
1.5.
Yeah.
DraftKings has it Niners by 1. You've got Bet365 has it at 1.5. I'm seeing anywhere between 1 and 1.5. Niners are favored at home against the Chiefs. October 20th, 125.
Wasn't that the same spread from the Super Bowl?
I just said it. It was 2.
Yeah. Oh. 2. It closed at 2 or opened at 2?
I believe it closed at 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Niners by 2. Mm. And if it goes to 2, will Niner fans have PTSD?
No. Niners, they already do. It doesn't matter what the spread is. The Chiefs are coming to town, for God's sakes.
Yep.
It's like literally the one team. If you go around the league... because this does predate Brock. It's not just the Super Bowl. It's the last 2 Super Bowls. It's when they came to town. It's when the Niners had to go there. All of, like, the Chiefs. It's the one team that there isn't some sort of positive muscle memory with in the whole league. You know? So this one's going to be difficult to stomach.
We'll get into it next week. I look forward to it. We'll spend a little bit more time, I think, looking back at this one. And maybe before we leave today, I know the weekend is quickly approaching, but...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a little something on the other side. I'm going to give all the listeners a little present.
Oh.
I'm going to give you all a little gift.
Do you want to fade the dippers?
You won't. I'm hot.
No, yeah.
I'm back.
You will. You're not
I'm
hot.
Him.
No, you got to stop with the hot. You can't do the hot. I told you, it's just like Will Ferrell used to say when he would yell, "We're going streaking!" you're only allowed to do that if you get 3. You have to get 3, not 2 and not 1. Stop with 1. You're not hot. Hot is 3.
After I give you the Sunday night lock,
3.
Come Monday, I'll be 1 win away from being hot.
That's fair. But you got to get Sunday and you got to get Monday.
You've been hot once so far this season.
You're damn right I have.
You won your 2nd, 3rd, and 4th picks
of the
year.
Isn't that the NBA Jams thing where you hit 3 straight shots and then it's like, he's heating up. He's on fire. You don't remember NBA Jams. You're a zygote.
When you talk about things like heating up and fire, that sounds like beer pong to me.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
2 in a row, you're heating up. You get your 3rd, then you're on fire.
That's from NBA Jams.
And that's
Jams.
When you get balls back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have stepped on that. He wouldn't have cut it, though.
No. But...
I had a line about getting balls back, but I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right.
Shout out Dr. Choupin. He's a miracle worker. Stitch your boy back together.
Okay, so but you're doing the Sunday night game.
It's a lock.
It's a lame game, though.
Whatever. It's only lame if I lose, I won't.
Money is money. Nobody cares.
Just the pick is in, okay? Let's get to it. I'm excited.
All right, fine. Jeez.
Ooh.
Chill.
I got to read.
We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. There is still plenty of time for your phone calls in a game that we have described as a relief. The emotion you felt when Juice went not only into the end zone, but into his wife's arms last night. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. We'll get you ready for the football hour with Grandy and Sterling. And then maybe most or least importantly, we will, one more time this week, fade the dibbers. That is next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Durando is the running back. Scoring on the ground. Sideline, being chased, one man to beat, and that man stops him, but at the four-yard line. So of all crazy things, a 76-yard run.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Garendo! Yeah, who's Garendo? Well, that's kind of his welcome to the NFL moment last night. And then, of course, the fun conversation. And this is the kind of stuff that I love. This is how you know a night went well, which is when you can go to the post-game press conference and have a coach chuckle and laugh and have a team start poking fun at one another about whether he got caught, did he slide, did he get tackled, did he mean to. So it's a reminder that we get constantly, especially in the NFL. One game, one weekend changes your entire outlook. And I sit here today in a total state of positivity with the 49ers situation and outlook, despite the fact that much of the season has been filled with frustration.
Right, and through it all, you're 3-3. And you're kind of back in it in the NFC West because You're in first place.
You're not just in it, yes.
Well, you won two, and tiebreaker-wise, if sure, you know, you get sure. Arizona, who can jump up and tie you with a win, and they'll be 3-3, and I guess they'd be ahead of you because they beat you in the head-to-head.
They're a significant dog this weekend, which means nothing. A lot of significant dogs have won their games so far this year, but yeah, the 49ers, even if the Arizona does win and they're all 3-3, the Niners, Niners are fine.
They're back in the mix, and you know they've got a couple of more should-be tough games considering the scheduling spot and the defending champion and the rivalry game and all the rest of it, but help is on the way in the form of a bye, and then you've got you know a couple of games that are maybe not as tough as what lies ahead with the Green Bay Buffalo back-to-back, but you're right. The NFL, more than anything else, is week-to-week. If they lose to Kansas City next Sunday, there'll be disappointment. I don't know if there will be necessarily shock and like awe as if there would have been last night, but every week there's going to be a different reaction. You just got to hang in there, and there'll be brighter days ahead.
Read the book. That's my suggestion. Yep. Read the book. I'm going to try my butt off not to bring up this phrase on this show for a long time. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
That's it. Just Super Bowl. It is not a relevant thing right now. It just isn't. It's not even relevant for Kansas City, to be honest with you. It is 4 full months away. Like, it is not a relevant thing right now. who these teams are now versus who they're going to be 2 months from now, I would argue almost all of them, it's going to be different. It's going to be completely different. Like, what is Minnesota's story in December? What does this look like? You know, we're so, so early. So read the book, and last night, in the end, all things considered, was a great night for the San Francisco 49ers. I bet they all slept well.
Yeah, and now they get a chance to have that mini bye and a chance to take a little bit of a breath and sit back and watch football on Sunday and then get ready again on Monday and stuff and get, you know, geared up for a Kansas City game that's going to be all the rage on Sunday afternoon, which is now, what, it's going to be 9 days away, which should give you enough time to ramp up. Casey's on a bye, so I'm sure they're already doing their work, and Shanahan's going to start doing his work immediately on Kansas City, and so we can turn our attention next week to one of the biggest regular season games of the year with the Chiefs and Patty Mahomes coming to town.
Well, they're going to be coming hot and heavy now almost every week. I know the bye is in there, but to have Kansas City and then Sunday Night Football come to town to get a bye, and then even something like Tampa on the 10th. That could be Christian McCaffrey's return. It could be Nick Bosa going, Baker, you good?
Nice.
It could be that. Then you get Seattle again. Then you're doing the two-step on the road to Green Bay and Buffalo. Like, this is going to be really, really dramatic stuff on a weekly basis, and the 49ers on some level are going to have to be at their best, the best version of whatever they can be that week based on who's available. Is the number four? Is that the number? Lucas, is that the number? The Bengals are playing the Giants on Sunday Night Football. I think the Bengals are like a 4-point favorite.
I do believe that is correct.
All right, number's four. So, you want to do this?
Let's do it.
All right, come on, Grandy, let's fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Official number will go with 3.5.
That's right.
3.5.
We agreed FanDuel would be the book of choice.
So the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite over the host New York football Giants. Dibs?
This is almost unfair. This is like...
Oh, crap.
This is a layup. And this is an uncontested layup.
I'm going to fade this
and
one.
And this is a borderline slam dizunk because the Giants are in a classic letdown spot coming off an unlikely win over Seattle. And the Bengals are better than their record would indicate. Their offense has been incredible. The defense is a question mark, but Danny Dimes poses no real threat. Even to a bad defense, this is Ottoman City, baby. Take the Bengals and lay the 3.5. Cuckoo!
Normally your cuckoos don't have a high pitch in them, but you got a little woo in
there. It's late in the week now.
Yeah. Cuckoo!
Cuckoo!
That's better, yeah. All right.
You fade me, fellas? You fade me?
I'm fading.
You are not.
Home dog. I
mean, betting on the Giants is just so.
Thank you, Grandy. It's good honesty.
Exactly.
And Lucas gave it up.
I'm with Grandy. I'm not betting on the Bengals and the Giants.
Fade the Dibber.
Listen.
You guys are such cowards.
I'm not scared.
If you're a big football fan, if you're a big football fan and you have a hard time, you know all those videos around social media where, like, right around early first week of September, everybody puts out their funny sort of social media videos where they're like, so I told my family goodbye and I packed my bag and I'll see them again in January, but like I'm watching football for the next 4 months. I'm out. If you're one of those people and you're starting to get in fights around the house because you're not present, this week's the week. Okay, the Niners.
Be present.
Just like if you're ever going to take a day off from doing football for the whole day, I'm not telling you to miss it all, but if you're going to take a break on any given Sunday, this is the one. The Niners don't play, and Sunday Night Football is a big pile of crap. It's just not a good football game. Unless Ja'Marr Chase or Joe Burrow or T. Higgins are on your fantasy team and you just can't.
Devin McPherson.
I don't even think. Is Malik Nabers? He's out again, right?
Yeah, he's out.
He's out. Is Devin Singletary out again?
Questionable.
Damn it.
I got the Bengal kicker. I'm locked in.
I'd like to know something firm on Devin Singletary. It doesn't help me if you're questionable on Sunday night. But anyway, this is the week. Burn your time watching Lamar and Jaden Daniels earlier in the day. Burn your time watching Dan Campbell bite a kneecap in Dallas and see if he'll go for two from the 28-yard line or whatever.
Start your day with a wake and take. Chicago and Jacksonville and London. You wake and take the Bears.
Bears, I agree.
And you lay the 1.5. And then you segue right into a great Washington-Baltimore at 10.
Remember,
it's a good one.
Last year is when Jacksonville, surprised, they know London a lot.
They do.
They love it out there. They beat Buffalo out there last year.
True.
You be careful now, because I know that spread looks like just delicious. It looks so easy.
But it's a neutral, and you know you got Chicago. Well, they don't go over there often, and Jacksonville always goes over there.
And they score like a pick six every weekend. Like, it's one of these weeks you're going to have to actually score on offense. They finally did last week, but watch out. Jacksonville's starting to like act a little bit dangerous.
Baltimore and Washington's a great game.
Great game.
That's very worthy of your eyeballs on a Sunday morning. So you don't take the day off.
No, take the night off. That's what I'm saying. Watch football all day and then grab the fam and go to dinner. Don't watch Daniel Jones. Go to dinner. Have food. Talk to your family.
It's takeout. We'll probably go to the in-laws. It's a Sunday night family dinner. Probably go over there for roast chicken and mashed potatoes. The game's on in the kitchen, too, which is nice.
I mean, background noise is fine. Yeah, whatever. Or, I mean, if you really want to know what you should be doing on a Sunday night, is you should be tuned into Fox Sports Radio right here on 95.7 The Game. And we can all watch the stupid Giants-Bengals game together. That's what me and Ephraim will be doing.
Oh, that's right, because you're going to be actually be
I'll
on 95.7 The Game this
air.
Week. Okay.
From 5 to 8. Yeah, so don't watch Daniel Jones. You can listen to us. All right? Football hour's coming up. Grandy, you have any fascinating teases to pass along?
No, nothing fascinating.
All right. Yeah, no, it's going to be
I'll be tuned in.
Total snooze.
That's a job.
Please listen.
Me and Sterling are at odds, and that's coming up.
Exactly.
Okay. Tune in to find out. There you go, Grandy.
Sterling thinks one receiver's got to go.
There you go.
Find out which one coming up next.
Actually, did you hear what Colin Cowherd said about Brock Purdy? Uh-oh.
There you go.
I did,
unfortunately. That's your guy, too, Mark.
Yeah, it was. Anyway.
Well, return your call now.
Football Hour coming up next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years a full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm going to a pumpkin patch.
Do you want to do it on Sunday?
I got football to watch.
You want to do it on Monday?
I can't wait for Monday.
Well, I'll see you Tuesday.
Okay. That's right.
For Dibs,
right.
For Grandy, for Lucas.
Best of luck, brother.
Thank you. Thoughts and prayers.
Hit him straight.
Shoot your shot. That's all I'm going to get.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!